What's up, guys? It's the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. I'm Jared Stansberry. It's the seniors. It's a Monday. What's up, Rob Gray?
Hey, it's a big Cy-Hawk rivalry week, so a lot is up. A lot is up for grabs, but you know, we're up to the challenge to chat about it a bit today, and of course dive into it throughout the week while other news, of course, looms.
Definitely. So we're sitting here in the what's this one called? The Hunziker?
The Hunziker Auditorium.
Auditorium at the Jacobson Building here on beautiful Iowa State University's campus.
Yeah, a little bit of a downgrade from recording at your place, I'd say, just in terms of the...
At least we avoid the barking dog in the background.
That's true. Hope Lola's doing well.
Yeah. Oh, she's doing well. Thank you. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
So we just got done with the Matt Campbell press conference. Not too much... news. Actually, I really wouldn't say anything that was really news.
Mm-hmm.
He reaffirmed Julian Good-Jones will be back after his suspension last week due to a violation of team rules. I thought it was kind of interesting that he said that situation had actually been sorted out in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And what did he say? Nobody asked, so I just didn't divulge that information.
Yeah, I believe that is how he put it. It was kind of, that was interesting.
And it's funny too, because it's not like the rumors didn't kind of swirl.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like the winds were kind of blowing a little bit behind the scenes, and it's just like nobody just asked the question. And that's kind of what he made it sound like. Like, well, if you would have asked, I would have told you. I doubt it, coach. You probably wouldn't have.
A little frankness, though, there. It's like, hey, you know, you didn't ask me.
Right. All right. So I guess really the only other thing is Everett Edwards and Thad Daniels were both back at practice last night. Should be good to go. DeAndre Payne should be good to go for the game against Iowa on Saturday night. And then Willie Harvey is a little banged up. I'm not sure what he banged up, but he left the game on Saturday. Didn't practice last night, but he is expected to be back to practice on Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, obviously, Willie's been a guy that's been looked to to be a real impact guy this year. And at times, he was an impact guy last year.
Yeah.
So, if he's able to get back on the field, that's a big plus. But, not a lot of updates other than basically the general understanding that guys who were banged up in that game are going to be fine.
I think the – Willie is – I mean, it's important that they get him back and healthy, because I think you could see a difference on Saturday. But, like, early on in the game, I don't know if they were using him really as, like, a traditional spy, but it seemed like he was – you know, he was right there, right with Aaron Bailey almost every time that he made a move.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, his speed – he's fast enough to be able to keep up with Aaron Bailey and stay out there in space and be able to make a play on that. And I think that some of those guys – once he got out of the game, the guys that came in for him just weren't quite at that – they don't have that same level of speed.
Yep.
And that was allowing him to get loose and get some of those runs where he'd pick up a first down.
Exactly. And the anticipation, too, that, you know, savvy, whatever you want to call it. I noticed that a lot, too. I mean, the difference, you know, Bailey would get there. And you'd see guys, they're on their assignment. They're there.
Yeah.
And – they can't get an angle on him. So runs that were going for 3 or 4 yards ended up going for 15. And obviously when DeMond Tucker was banged up and played less, I think that allowed them to exploit all aspects of the running game, you know, up the middle, off tackle, not you know, on the edge and everything else. And that's when they piled up most of their rushing yards. So if those guys, as you mentioned, are anything approaching 100% or just at a, you know, serviceable level where they'll make a positive impact, that should really help against an Iowa team that obviously hangs its hat or wants to on the running game.
Definitely. And I think that it's going to be interesting to see how some guys like Jamal Johnson. I went back and watched the game. I was pretty impressed at some times with what he was able to do and how he was able to hold his ground in there for being, you know, 18, 19 years old. I don't know if he's 18 or 19, but
yeah.
And then someone like Jaquan Bailey, like he's got that one game of experience, went in there, got a sack, got a couple tackles. Both of those guys seem like how they play in game one might not be near an accurate representation of how they're going to be 7, 8, 9, you know, in that kind of range.
Yeah, definitely.
They could make a big leap from now until the end of the season.
Yeah, something to build on. And yeah, when you talk about true freshmen that way too, you're going to see.
You're going to see exponential growth. Like 10.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I think it could be that what you say, that the whole team, how they are today, they could be way different by the time, heck, even week six. You know.
Yep. They could be. Now, if those guys continue to contribute in that big of a way in terms of multitude or numbers, you're going to see those. Sometimes one step forward, two steps back situations too, just because they're still gathering knowledge and, you know, building their football base, you know, at this level. But it is a good sign to see how those guys held up and in the case of Bailey stood out in week one and definitely should progress a ton as the season wears on.
Definitely. So. We're going to take a look at the Iowa Hawkeyes today. We're gonna preview them a little bit.
Yeah, before the deep dive, obviously, with the professor.
Yeah, we'll go we'll go into full-on deep dive, schematics, everything, as always, on Cyclone Fanatic TV Live, Tuesdays, 12:15, myself, Jeff Woody, Adam Gray. I give Adam the producer role. He's not on camera, but he's like Bear on College Game Day.
Yeah.
Do you ever watch College Game Day?
Occasionally. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, he's just kind of over there chilling, and he'll just pipe in once in a while with an opinion or a question.
Not quite to the level of say Dan Patrick show producers who are really like almost co-hosts. But just you know that little contribution.
Right.
That's welcome.
Yeah. And, and we can't put his ugly mug on the camera. So.
Yeah. That's probably a good idea. It's probably a good thing I'm not.
Yeah.
On it too. So.
So. Come on, man. We'll get you on. We'll get you on sometime. that's CFTV Live, Tuesday, 12:15. Myself, Jeff Woody, presented, as always, by our good friends at AgriGold. We'll have a link up there on the front page sometime early tomorrow morning. And we'll go as in-depth as you could possibly want on the Iowa Hawkeyes and what they try and do as a football team. But we're just going to kind of take a look at some of their personnel here today. Obviously, they picked up a 45-21 win over Miami of Ohio. One of the biggest numbers that I guess kind of jumped out to me, Miami actually outgained them, 424-404.
Yeah, they definitely
They were able to move the ball, even though Iowa got up, I think, 35-7.
Yeah.
In the first half.
Yep. And then they pulled it to 35-21.
Yeah.
Before Iowa closed it out with a couple scores. They, I think from talking to a couple of Hawkeye beat reporters who were hearing names, naturally gathering some, you know, information in advance of Saturday's game.
Intel.
Yeah, intel. they said that Miami was much better than advertised. They've come off a couple of tough seasons in the program. Their quarterback was pretty good. They had some playmakers and spots, not enough to probably beat a quote-unquote good team this season. Excuse me, but better than, you know, a team that is considered maybe one of the worst of the MAC coming in.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see how that bears itself out. And Iowa notably lost perhaps the leader of their defense, Josie Jewell, early on in that game with
like,
the targeting
like
call.
The second play
Yeah, second,
something.
Third play, something like that. He'll be back, obviously, and they might get defense.
You don't have to – do you have to sit out a suspension?
It depends on the nature of the hit, I think. Though this stuff
keeps
like shifting.
I think if you get – I thought if you got ejected, you have to sit out a quarter or something like that.
Well,
I could be completely wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what how it might be.
Well, he'll be playing in this game either way. But
or maybe it's because if you get ejected, you have to sit out like – I don't know. Maybe that I'm completely wrong, I think.
Well, it's easy to be because that rule has been changed with little nuances a number of times. But either way, that he makes them a very different defense and a much better defense. Plus, they might get DN Parker Hesse back. Very good player. Mm-hmm. We saw with Anthony Nelson, who I'd forgotten, but had actually committed to Iowa State and ends up a late get by Iowa.
Yeah.
He had 2.5 sacks in that game. Big disruption off the edge there. So it will be a different team. But, I mean, so will Iowa State. I mean, they learned yet again, and they were in a close wins, close situation that down the stretch they did not, you know, make the winning plays, to put it mildly.
Mm-hmm.
And, at some point they're going to get over that hump, and it'll be interesting to see whether they can build off it or if it's kind of a one-time thing, you know, so yeah. some momentum can carry the other way, you know, and momentum is a, you know, made up thing, but mm-hmm. it seems to actually happen when you win, when you start winning close games, you start winning more of them.
Yeah.
And vice versa. When you start losing them, you start to, you know, we've talked about it ad nauseum, the doubt, the one thing goes wrong and you hang your head and two or three more things go wrong. So, should be an interesting matchup because what you expect in this Seahawk rivalry game is rarely what ends up mm-hmm. you know materializing on the field.
I think it's going to be the other name that I'll bring up for the Iowa defense is Desmond King.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting one to see how they move him around the field. Are they going to obviously the natural matchup would be Allen Lazard.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to kind of single that out and say, we're going to put Desmond King on. It's going to be King on Lazard every single play.
Mm.
I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm really interested to see if that's how they kind of approach that. Because if, I would think that any situation where Allen Lazard isn't covered by Desmond King, you're trying to take advantage. Like, you're trying to get him the ball. That's a situation you see that, okay, we're going to Allen.
Yeah, and I got the sense from talking to Joel Lanning and Allen,
is covered by Desmond King, but still.
You're looking for a weakness, and Allen Lazard's been breaking down a lot of film of Desmond King, and he was asked, what's his weakness, and he said he's still looking for it. So, he's that good. I mean, uh-huh. there's no question, but at the same time, his bookend, Greg Maben, got abused in the last game.
Yeah. They gave up 266 yards passing.
Yeah. So, I mean, naturally, it would make sense from a game plan perspective for Iowa to say, we want to take away Allen Lazard.
Yeah.
So you literally match King up with him all the time. Now, who knows what they can do scheme-wise and whatever movement, motions happen.
Yeah. Well, and we saw that on Saturday. You and I would roll their coverage towards Allen almost every single time with the safeties over the top.
Yep.
And so even in situations where it might initially look like he's going to be man-to-man, there's a safety coming up to the from the inside almost every single time.
Yeah.
And I would think that that'll probably be similar to what Iowa does as well. And the only way you can combat that is to have those guys like Dondre Daley, Trevor Ryan, Deshaunte Jones, Hakeem Butler. They have to be able to make catches, and they have to be able to force Iowa to focus on or say, okay, we can't just focus on Lazard. Yep. We have to cover all these other guys too.
Yeah, and I mean, Daley had the great catch early.
And that's – you saw his touchdown as kind of a product of that. They're rolling mm-hmm. their safeties to that one side, and that leaves him open. He just beats his man one-on-one touchdown.
Yeah, and he's got great speed. I mean, it's just a matter of not having those one-catch, two-catch games and having a 6-7, 8-catch game for him. And Butler's catch in the end zone is as good as you'll see. Ryan did a lot of good things. I think there was a miscommunication on mm-hmm. the first landing interception. But we know what he can do. I mean, that's intriguing to me there because any number of those guys, unless Maben has a big turnaround, and I know he was, he wasn't, I'd think it's fair to say he wasn't a standout performer last year. Mm-hmm. So you come off of that performance in week one, where's his head at? Iowa State has a lot of good depth at receiver that they can throw that way. So that complicates the just shut down Lazard matter. But I still think that's what you have to try to do.
Yeah.
From an Iowa perspective.
Definitely. A couple other names that I was going to mention on the Iowa defense is a couple linebackers, Ben Neiman. He was honorable mention All Big Ten last year. Had 9 tackles, 1.5 for a loss. He was the leading tackler against Miami of Ohio. And then Bo Bauer, he's another linebacker. He had 8 tackles. Both of them are juniors, so a couple of guys that are going to be pretty good in the defense. But
they've got stars and leaders at every level. When you look at that line with Hesse and Anthony Nelson. Another Nelson, and then Jewel, the linebacker, and the guys you mentioned, and then of course Desmond King, the true captain of that defense, is a corner. I think he's the left corner. Maben's right, but either way. So, talk about a massive improvement effort for Iowa State after putting up 20 points and really struggling to move the ball against UNI, but for a few really nice drives, it's going to be a whole different level. At Kinnick Stadium in a night game, which should be an electric atmosphere. I was thinking about what time we're going to get home.
Yeah, it's going to be late.
It's going to It's gonna make the next Monday news conference feel like it's 6 hours away once you get home. It's because of all that. But
once we get home, it'll be almost time for the NFL games to start.
Yeah, probably will be. Probably will be. But yeah, I mean, if Iowa State can do some good things against that defense, then I think that bodes very well for, even though this game frequently doesn't for either team color what's going to happen the rest of the season, as we've seen with upsets by Iowa State, or like in 2007 after the loss to Kent at home and you and I at home, they go and beat Iowa. Well, they win one more game. Mm-hmm. They gather nothing off of that. And, you know, it's interesting, that dynamic, how much the fans put into it, rightly, because it is, you're either one or the other. There's very few that, I'm a fan of both teams, all of that stuff. The milquetoast response.
Yeah.
I think it's okay to be respectful of the other team. It doesn't, I might take issue a little bit with the true full-on hate. I know a lot of people like it. It makes it fun. But so I can see that as justifiable. Hey, I respect him. I don't really hate him. But to be the fan of both teams, yeah, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But the fans are going to hype it up so much. And Joel Anik talked about that. But you shut that out. And it's kind of crazy the way that dynamic works, because I think you said when you watch the game, you see all you can hear is the band and the fans when you're watching the replay. And in the game, that is just silence.
Yeah.
It's just white noise maximum for you. And then now the game doesn't necessarily point to good fortune or misfortune down the road. But for Iowa State, it's a huge bellwether game given what happened in the UNI game, all the things they have to correct. They can correct a lot of those things and compete, let alone pull off the upset. I think this would prove to be an outlier.
Definitely.
In that sense of what it means for the rest of the season.
For sure. So for the Iowa offense, obviously everything gets started with C.J. Beathard.
Yeah.
I don't know if you wrote – did you write down what his line was from the game?
13 to 20 – in the season opener?
Yeah, yeah.
13 to 20, 192 yards and a touchdown. Efficient. Uh-huh. Didn't need to do a whole lot. Broke out against Iowa State, obviously, last year, and that's a stat I wanted to bring up. 15 of 25, 215, 3 TDs, and rushed for a season high by a wide margin, 77 yards on 10 carries. Had numerous big runs that extended drives for them. 62% accuracy last year. Everyone thinks of him as a gunslinger, and he sort of is, but 17 touchdowns to 5 picks last year,
and
3 touchdowns to 0 in the opener this year.
And it's interesting, you know, you listen to Matt Campbell talk about him, and he's kind of got that, like, gunslinger mentality to him, but he's still the game manager. Like, he's still, like, the Iowa game manager with that gunslinger mixed in.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes him so dangerous, you know?
Yeah, that's a lethal combo that you have to neutralize. And how do you do it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would say that success, which Coach Campbell alluded to today, mixing up their fronts, obviously, it's not rocket science. On third downs, you might move it up to a three-man front or get other guys involved, linebacker, blitz, safety, corner, all that kind of stuff. But they had some success pressuring Bailey and bringing him down a few times in those situations, and some nice pass rush opportunities. So, you know, you if you can get him uncomfortable at all, and he hasn't seemed like a guy that's easily rattled, you've really got a chance to maybe turn around that turnover margin a little bit and compete.
I think about a guy like when Iowa was really good. Ricky Stanzi's junior year.
Yeah,
like he had that game manager to him.
Yep.
But at the same time, he had that gunslinger where it's like, you know, you never know what he could start doing.
Yeah,
just start slinging the ball around.
Just
getting a little wild with it
when a big play was needed. Somehow he'd put it on there, even though he was like the quintessential game manager, not a cannon arm or anything like that. Just made big plays. But then there's, you know, the running backs are pretty darn good as well.
Akram Wadley, he was the leading rusher on Saturday. 12 carries, 121 yards and 2 touchdowns. And LaShawn Daniels, 10 carries, 83 yards and 2 touchdowns as well. It's like, you know, it's just kind of like typical Iowa. Like they just got two pretty just guys that are not going to be scared to run you over. They're going to hand them the ball, and they're going to say, stop us. We're going to line up in this I formation. We're going to run straight at you. Stop us. That's it.
Yeah, and some people will argue that the defense giving up those yards, also they didn't do anything approaching exotic. Everything was the most basic front, you know, the whole idea of not showing a whole lot of what your package is. They're on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody tries to do that. But, I mean – Iowa State has upset Iowa teams when they're heavy favorites before. But like I said, I think if it happens this time, given how it went, the honeymoon, Campbell's doing everything right, the social media and everything, people are just type, and then a lot of the same stuff happens in the season opener against Northern Iowa, fading down the stretch. I think one difference there, though, that when they were in that rut, and it didn't look like they were going to score again when it was 19-13, and they had that great drive, that 39-second drive or whatever, that a lot of really good plays made. Joel Lanning made some great throws on that drive, and there were some great catches as well.
That was the one that ended with the Lazard touchdown, right?
Another great play.
You could see that one coming, too, where he was at the top side of the formation.
Yep.
It was one-on-one. Chris Williams says, fade down, Lazard in the corner right away. There he goes, throws up the fade, and touchdown. Chris thought he was the smartest man in the building, I think.
Yeah. And then as you touched on in your piece after the game, the defense gets that key three and out after that, but then the parade of turnovers happens. So if you could turn that around, do something positive, maybe you actually get more takeaways than you give Iowa in this game. Maybe you take that atmosphere and build it into something, and they're kind of on their heels. Because there is that pressure on a team like that coming off a 12-win season. They want to make a statement in this game, I would think, to some degree, even though they won't say that. I'm sure some of the players want to. You know, they were down at halftime to the Cyclones last season. You know, a team that rattled out 12 straight wins against a team that won three games and could have won a few more, but just couldn't close the deal. So I hope they're loose. I hope they're free. I hope they're feeling good after they've broken down film. Those can be sobering film sessions when there were so many things to correct.
Mm-hmm.
But it can also be those can also be empowering and reinvigorating film sessions once you fully integrate that into your game plan for the following week. And if you can execute it, I mean, you see a night and day difference. So excited to see how much progress is made in that front.
Iowa's top receiving threat?
Vandenberg.
It's Vandenberg again. 4 catches, 99 yards. Did he have a touchdown? No, he didn't have any touchdowns.
Yeah, and he was the bane of Iowa State last year.
Yeah.
I mean, picked up that fumble that bounced all kinds of weird ways, picked up the ball a few yards out, gets touchdown. I think he had like 114 yards receiving in that game. I mean, he's got a little bit of speed to him. And, it was big play after big play, you know, third downs, so many things in that game.
I don't really think of him as like a 4-catch, 99-yard guy, though.
No.
He's more of like a 8 catches for 68 yards. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, talking to some guys, they think maybe that's a little bit of a misconception with him. But, I mean, you look at last year, and I think the same thing.
Yeah.
But last year's stats, I mean, I think he had over 700 yards receiving. But, yeah, a lot of games, it's, 10 average, 12 average, 13. I mean, even Iowa State was a 12.7 average because he had 9 catches. So, yeah, he's not – by no means is he a breakaway speed guy, but he's more than just a possession guy, too, that you have to account for. And then they got Germanic Smith, who is kind of that explosive, really explosive bookend to him just as a well-rounded receiver. So, be interesting to see how Iowa State's secondary – approaches, taking certain guys away or just straight up and maybe bring or amp up the pressure on Beathard if it's possible.
Obviously, when it comes to Iowa, you have to pay a lot of attention to the tight ends as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those guys are always going to be active.
What's his name? George Kittle?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a guy that, could break you downfield for a 20-yard gain. It's like a guy that maybe played for the White Sox. Well, there was a Kittle that played for the White Sox in the 70s, but sounds like a guy who'd be like a slugging first baseman in baseball or something.
I wonder if there's any relation to that's Kittles. I was going to say Kerry Kittles, but not the same name.
Yeah. We gave predictions for this game a while back. I remember I thought that Iowa might win by 10 or 14. Maybe you thought it might be a little bit tighter.
I think
Let's
I said –
revisit that.
I don't know. I think it'll be 14 points.
Yeah. I think we'll see improvement on the offense. And, of course, we'd love to see an upset because this would be one of the biggest ones because
they haven't lost a regular season game in, 2 years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Well, they went 12-0 last year. So.
Yeah. So, this has more significance. And it may be one of those, again, games that stands out among the rest that can indicate what happens the rest of the season. Probably not so much for Iowa, but for the Cyclones, who desperately need to achieve that confidence-boosting total performance so they can look at the way they executed and say, and look at each other and say, you know what, we really did what we wanted to do in this game.
Matt Campbell could take over for Bo Pelini as the last coach to beat Iowa in the regular season.
Yeah, yeah. Bo's still at Youngstown?
Yeah, I assume so.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were any good last year.
Not great. Not great.
So you're picking, you said 10-14 points?
Yeah, I'm sticking to that. I think it might be a 10-point game.
Yeah.
And I think it might be closer to, I think we'll definitely see improvement in Iowa State's offense. I'm not sure we'll see enough given how far that offensive line has to go.
Uh-huh.
You know, talk about guys building. I mean, so few starts among that group. Now at least they've got another start or right. a first start.
Right. Now they've got what, like six starts along the offensive line?
Yeah. And I think a handful
from Brian Bobek before.
And Philbert and
oh,
all that.
Yeah. Philbert had some.
But in terms of straight start, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I think it's definitely going to be an improved Iowa State team that uh-huh. is crisper in its execution. But I think that's just going to be a hard, not just venue to overcome, team to overcome mm-hmm. in this situation, because Iowa looks like a pretty complete team, and teams like that are pretty hard to, I guess you can improve against them, but it's pretty hard to completely, disrupt everything
yeah.
that they tend to do right. Again, I hope I'm wrong in the sense that Iowa State can go in, because I mean, I think the season, you know, unlike some others, could truly be turned around if they can, you know, get a return for touchdown, get a pick for a touchdown. If you can get a couple of those scores mixed in, it could be one of those historic feel-good games for the Cyclones in Iowa City.
Definitely. So there's one other thing I wanted to note. Former Iowa State basketball player Paul Shirley
yeah.
was J.J. Redick's guest on the Vertical podcast with J.J. Redick.
Mm-hmm.
Outstanding listen.
Yeah.
I would recommend, highly recommend to any basketball fan.
So highly recommended. Yeah.
If you just like Paul Shirley. He's a funny guy.
Yeah.
So.
What a great combination.
Yeah.
Shirley is a fascinating guy and a talented guy. Obviously, he was a talented basketball player, but, you know, very creative thinker mm-hmm. and talker.
He's just very – it's very interesting to hear his perspective on professional sports. Guy yeah. that has lived a very interesting life.
Absolutely. I'll put a shameless – well, first of all, I'll plug all of our stuff this week. You'll be all over it. I'll have my stories angled. Chris is on RVTV and across many platforms with KXNO Sports Fanatics and mm-hmm. his writings, his musings today. I enjoyed writing about Jordan Karstens, who beat Iowa twice on the road.
Definitely. People should also keep an eye out for some stuff tonight.
Indeed. News.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're all over it.
Yeah. But then, yeah, get on, read Rob's Where Are They Now? Jordan Karstens. I haven't gotten to read it yet. What's give us some bullet points.
It was fun. Just very much the thing that struck me is when I asked him to do the interview, he's like, I don't know, I'm pretty boring. Well, here's a guy that went from walk-on to, you know, barely snayed a – he was going to go to Northwest uh-huh. Missouri State. He figured because he thought Iowa State was kind of lukewarm. Paul Rhodes was his main recruiter. So he visits Northwest, and for some reason they don't offer him a scholarship. He said the ride back with his dad. Dad's like, well, why don't you just go to Iowa State? He's like, well, yeah, why don't I? You know, he and Lane Danielson both get their scholarships in their redshirt freshman years. He goes on to, you know, double-digit sacks at Iowa State in his career, I think 21 and a half or something, tackles for loss. A great performer, becomes a starter in the NFL, Carolina Panthers. Kidney ailment shuts down his NFL career, and he needs a transplant, and his brother Ben steps up for him. And he's doing great, and he's farming. He's back to farming, and he's enjoying life, and, you know, anything but boring.
Nice.
I'd put it that way. So major thanks to him and others for sharing, you know, a lot of information about a pretty remarkable and, as I said, anything but boring life.
Definitely. So, yeah, so go check that out right now. It's on the Cyclone Fanatic homepage. One more plug, Cyclone Fanatic TV Live. Tuesday,
yes.
12:15, myself, Jeff Wardy, breaking down the Iowa Hawkeyes. The link will be right there on the homepage. sometime early in the morning. I think I'm going to meet up with Chris on RVTV in Sheridan.
Nice.
On, I think it's Wednesday. So we might have a From the Road podcast.
That'll be excellent. And CFTV with you and Woody, appointment viewing.
Most
for anybody
definitely.
Who hasn't checked it out yet, yeah. Or even the podcast, because I've done that. Like, I've been mowing the lawn. And it's like, I'll throw on the podcast. You get the same knowledge. You just don't see the pieces moved around.
Yeah. We're getting a whiteboard eraser this week.
Nice.
So
just keeps building.
So, like, every week, yeah, we just get a little bit better. We're working on getting a, you know, maybe getting at something that hooks into the computer so that we can hook our computers up to the cameras, and then we can shift over to the computer.
Ah,
and
yeah.
Then that'll pop up on your screen instead of the cameras. Oh, it's going to be awesome, dude.
Yeah.
It's just like week by week we make some, you know, we make one new improvement.
Yep, we break new ground.
Yeah. Cool. This week it's the eraser. That's our new.
Excellent. Excellent.
All right. So thanks, Rob Gray.
Thank you, Jared Stansbury.
Have a good week, dude.
Yeah, you too.
Have a good week, everybody. Thanks for listening.